الرحمن الرحيم نشارة فبلا والشيخ يقول رومي وقت تبريد ريد دورة ريد دورة الشحكي مهود اختصر ورحمة الله عليه بالتايتل اف نظم اس شان گل ننگ خار ہوتی ہے دا شان گل دا بیوٹی آف دا فلاور کم ورز دن دا تون جب خدا پر نثار ہوتی ہے جب خدا پر 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 نثار ہوتی ہے زندگی پر بہار ہوتی ہے زندگی پر بہار ہوتی ہے کب جب خدا جب خدا جب خدا پر نثار ہوتی ہے جرم غفلت کی مرتکب ہو کر جرم غفلت کی مرتکب ہو کر زندگی بے قرار ہوتی ہے جب خدا پر نثار ہوتی ہے زندگی پر بہار ہوتی ہے صحبت اہل دل کی برکت سے صحبت اہل دل کی برکت سے ہر کلی گل عذار ہوتی ہے ہر کلی گل عذار ہوتی ہے کون رخصت ہوا گلے مل کے کون رخصت ہوا گوا گلے مل کے ہر کلی اشک بار ہوتی ہے ہر کلی اشک بار ہوتی ہے روح اخلاص گر نہیں شامل روح اخلاص گر نہیں شیشی شامل یاد حق کاروبار ہو تی ہے یاد حد حق کاروبار ہوتی ہے جرم غفلت کی مرتکب ہو کر زندگی بے قرار ہوتی ہے جب خدا پر نثار ہوتی ہے آخری شعر ہے ان کی ناراضگی سے اے اختر ان کی ناراضگی سے ایسے اے اختر شان گل ننگ خار ہوتی ہے شان گل ننگ خار ہوتی ہے صحبت اہل دل کی برکت سے ہر کلی گل ہزار ہوتی ہے کون رخصت ہوا گلے مل کے ہر کلی اشک بار ہوتی ہے جب خدا پر نثار ہوتی ہے زندگی پر بہار ہوتی ہے جب خدا پر نثار ہوتی ہے.
الحمد للہ وکفا وسلام علی عباده الذین اصطفى. اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العظيم. Hazrat is not available today because of the janaza that Hazrat to attend, so we also try and recite three times surah ikhlas and pass it over to Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Yasser, inshallah. Hazrat Maulana was doing great work in various parts of the world. How many madrasas, makatib they were running. Once we were speaking to one person in Tanzania, and just in Tanzania itself, approximately over 250 madrasas they were running there. And the brother there, he explained, he said that we needed kitabs in Tanzania, and there they were using, I think, Swahili language or whatever language they speak over there. So he said that Nias Farm, they got it translated into the Swahili language. And then he said they sent two containers of kitabs that were worth $40,000. And he said they didn't take a single cent from us. And he says now we intend, inshallah, we'll continue ourselves. But they still go there, they have the examination. So that person was explaining, he says that the examiners that come from South Africa, he says 50% of the cost we able to bear. But the remainder of the cost, whatever it is, he says they take care of everything. So this will be, inshallah, sawab jariya for them, inshallah, in the akhirat. This is a beautiful poem, which is quite difficult. I cannot even translate it. But just one or two couplets in the beginning, where Hazrat writes over here, he says, Jab khuda par nisar hoti hai, zindagi pur bahar hoti hai. That when a person, he sacrifices for Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. He gives his life for Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then how enjoyable the life of a person becomes. This is when a person gives his life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then life becomes enjoyable in this world. Ek tu mera to har shay meri. Allah, if you become mine, then everything will become mine. Zameen meri, falak mera. The heavens also become mine, the earth also become mine. And if a person doesn't have Allah, ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri. Allah, if you are not in my life, I've got nothing whatsoever. Person can be driving the best car, but if Allah Ta'ala is not in his life, that car is not enjoyable. A person got the best home, he goes home, he's got difficulties in his home. Why? Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not in his home. So a person has to bring Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala into his life. And there are various ways of getting to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, countless ways to get to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Not only one way. A person has love for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He gives his life for Nabi Alayhi Salaam. This is one way he will get to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Follow me, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will love you. A person, he brings nawafil in his life. In this way a person will reach Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala through nawafil also. Not that a person all the time also in nawafil. Shariat is our deen is a deen of i'tidal, where there's total moderateness in our deen. Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala an, he was the son of Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala an, very very great sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala an, he saw that his son has come of age. Now I want to get my son married. So he looked for a girl to get his son married. It is mentioned he found a girl that was from a very very respectable family, a very very noble family, and he got Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he got him married to this particular girl. Some days had passed, and after some time had passed, Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala was concerned that I got my son married, I brought somebody's daughter into my home, but what is the condition? Is my daughter-in-law happy or is she unhappy with her husband? Is the husband fulfilling the right? Today we look at ways, it is the other way around. Normally when a boy gets married to a girl, daughter-in-law came into our home. Now what will the mother ask the son in the morning? You're getting your breakfast every morning. When you're going to lunch, when you're going to work, is she tying your lunch also? Are you getting lunch? When you're coming back, is supper ready? Is the house clean? There it was the other way around. They were worried that we brought somebody's daughter, that what is the condition? Is she happy? Is the husband fulfilling the rites? So he never got an opportunity to ask her. But after some time, Allah Ta'ala gave him the opportunity. When he got the opportunity to ask her, he went up to her and he asked her, he says that, how is it that you married to my son for so many days? Is my son fulfilling your rights? Is he taking care of you? So she was from a very noble family, very respectable family. She didn't complain to the father-in-law. But what did she say? She says that he's such a pious man, I didn't find a pious man like this. He says, Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala, there's not a single day that is not roza. Every day of his life he used to keep nafil roza. She says, when he comes home, there's not a single night that he's not spending tahajjud namaz. Every night of his life, it is in tahajjud namaz. And then she says that he's so engrossed in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so involved in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that at night he does not even have time to come to the bed. So on one side she praised him, but in that praising of his, look at her intelligence also, in that praising also, she made her ishara, she made her indication, that my right has not been fulfilled because I'm married, I'm now the wife, but he's not coming and spending any time with me whatsoever. So immediately he took it up. The father-in-law, he said, no, this is my son, I got to take it up. So Hazrat Abdullah, Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala, he called his son, Hazrat Abdullah, and he told his son that now you are married, you got a wife, you got to fulfill the rights of your wife as well, that you're not spending time with her. For ibadat also there's a place, for your nawafil also there's a place, and your family also got a right over you. So it is mentioned that this condition that Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala was experiencing, this is what we call kayfiyat. Certain conditions that a person, sometimes he goes through certain conditions. Like we explained in tasawwuf, there's one term that is referred to as bas, and one is referred to as qabz. Bas is where a person sometimes inclines towards ibadah. Tahajjud also he's reading, and he's enjoying his tahajjud namaz. Tilawat of Quran, he can't stop reciting Quran Sharif. He can't stop making zikrullah. That is what we call bas. When a person, easily he's flowing now. And sometimes it's qabz, where there's constipation, where a person, he cannot even flow. Now he does not even want to go to the masjid. Faraz also becomes difficult for a person. Hazrat explained that sometimes when a person is in qabz, when he can't flow, and at that time he tramples on the nafs, and at that time he makes the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, that darjah is more higher. He says, like for example, when a person, when he's in bust, when he's flowing, it's like the qiyam position of salah. And when a person is in qabz, when he can't flow, when a person can't engage in ibadat, this is like when you're in sajda, you're right in the bottom. And which position is higher? When a person is in sajda, that position is higher. So he was going through this kayfiyat, through this condition. And what was the consequence, what was the reason for him experiencing this condition? It is mentioned, any sahabi that came in the sohbat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sat in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, he heard the discourses and the waaz of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately his heart will be disinclined from dunya. Dunya will be one side. And this person, his heart will be now inclined towards akhirat. This was the effect of the sohbat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So because of this, when their heart was inclined towards akhirat, they didn't worry about dunya. That how can I excel and store more for my akhirat? That is why every day I must keep roza also. Every night I must spend in tahajjud namaz. This is how Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala, he inclined towards akhirat. It is mentioned Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one particular occasion he was walking. And he came with the sahaba to a particular spot. He saw that there was a house being built. He asked the sahaba that whose house is this that is being built? The sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, particular sahabi, this is his house. The Nabi al-Islam didn't say anything. Later on, that sahabi came before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away from him. That was sufficient for sahaba to get the ishara. So he said, what is wrong? What have I done that Nabi al-Islam has turned away? I asked the sahaba. Sahaba said that he asked about that house. That sahabi also, look at the love that they had for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went, he broke that house down. He brought it right down to the ground. That Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was displeased. And he didn't even come back and tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I broke the house also. After some time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by the area. He said, where is that house? He said, Ya Rasulullah, the sahabi knew that you were displeased. He brought it down to the dunya. Brought it down to the ground. So this is what dunya meant to them. Absolutely nothing whatsoever. One occasion when Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was separated from the Azwaj-e-Mutahharat. This lasted for a period of approximately 1 month, this separation. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he went to visit Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. When he went to visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he knocked and he sought permission. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam gave him permission, come inside. When he went inside the room, what does he find? He finds a few skins that were in that room. And there was a chatai, a grass mat, upon which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam would lie down, which left imprints on the back of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, tears came into his eyes. He said, Ya Rasulullah, the kings of Rome, Caesar and Kisra, that what wealth Allah Ta'ala has given them, what jewelry Allah Ta'ala has given them, what slaves Allah Ta'ala has given them, what heaven they got, and this is your condition. You also make dua that, oh Allah, bless me with that wealth that you have given Caesar and Kisra, and this will be assistance in the matters of deen. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Umar radiallahu ta'ala that, awa fi hadha yabn al-Khattab, you also in this order, al-Khattab, you also thinking like this also, oh Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He said that tilka qawmun ujjidat lahum tayyibatum fil hayati dunya, that was a qawm, that was a nation, whatever goodness was for them, Allah Ta'ala gave them in this dunya. There is nothing for them whatsoever in the akhirat. So how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned them away from dunya and inclined them towards akhirat? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, he says, mali wali dunya, what have I got to do with dunya? Ma ana fi dunya illa ka dunya illa ka dunya illa ka raqib, I am in this world like a person that is riding upon a conveyance. Istavalla tahta shajara, a man that just took some shadow, just took some shelter under a tree. Thumma rahi, fataraka. Then he leaves that place, he goes away, he departs from that place. That is exactly our example in this dunya. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat mentioned this incident. He said, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the companions of Isa alayhi salam, they are known as the Hawariyun. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion, he was traveling with one of his companions. So while they were traveling, they had their patkos also with them, and this was three pieces of roti that they had. So while they were traveling, it is mentioned they came to one place. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said, let's eat now, we're hungry. So they took out the roti. So Isa alayhi salam had one piece, this person, he had one piece. Then they said, okay, one, keep it away, later on somewhere we'll be hungry again, so we'll eat again. So they continued traveling. As they traveled, after some time, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam told him that now we're hungry, let's take out that one piece of roti. They said, the one piece of roti is gone, that piece of roti is missing. So he said, where is that piece of roti? He says, I don't know where it is. So he says, only you and me. So he says, I don't know. So he said, okay, no problem, let's carry on. So they continued traveling. As they continued, they came to one place, they found three bricks of gold. So Isa alayhi salam said that one brick for me, one brick is for you. And he said, the one brick is for the person that ate the roti. So immediately he owned up. He said, now there was gold involved. So he said, okay, that one, I stole it. So Isa alayhi salam said that this is dunya, is dunya. So he said, all three bricks of gold, all I'm giving it to you. You keep all three bricks. I don't want anything also. He says, but now you go your way, I'm going to go my way. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam departed from there and he went away. So when he left, there were two thieves that were coming. So they saw that this person is sitting with three bricks of gold. So they caught him. So when they caught this particular person, now he told them that, look, we are three, and there are three bricks over here. So let's divide it, each one take one each, and it will be over, there will be no problem, no need to kill anyone. So they said, now that we got gold, we need to party also. So they said, okay, no problem. So they said, you go to the town, you buy the food, and you come with the food. So all were chores, all three were chores. So the one that went to the town, he went to buy the food. So he thought, I'll buy my food, I'll eat. And the food that I bring for them, I'll poison it. And I'll give them, they will eat it, and they will die. And when they die, I'll get all three bricks for myself. So he made his plan, and he poisoned the food. On this side, they were making their plan. They said, when he comes back, we will kill him. And after killing him, we'll have the food also. And we'll have the three bricks of gold. So he brought the food, and he came back. When he came back with the food, so these people, they killed him. After killing him, they ate the food. So they also died. All three of them died. So now Isa al-Islam passes by the same area. He sees three bricks of gold lying, and he sees three corpses lying there. He says, this is the reality of dunya. Today, how many times we hear that the husband got the wife insured. Thereafter, he gets her killed. He is sitting in prison, he hasn't got anything, and all that haram insurance money is also gone. Sometimes it's the other way. Sometimes the children do it to the parents. How many stories? So this is the reality. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he turned their attention away from dunya. So because of this, Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went through this kayfiyat, through this condition, and every sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So nevertheless, he acted on the advice of his father, Hazrat Amr ibn As. He said, your family has a right, fulfill the right of your family. So he started acting on the advice of his father. But it was not long that he stopped acting on those advices also. He went back to his old habit, every day roza again. And every day again, his entire night is spent in tahajjud namaz. So So the father saw that the advice that I gave him, he only acted on those advices for a short period of time. And now he has already left those advices. He's gone back to his old habit. So now he went to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now look at the concern again for the daughter-in-law. He took the matter up to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, that my son Abdullah is a very good son." He says, but his wife is a good person. She doesn't have any complaint against her husband also. But he is not fulfilling the rights of the wife. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he could have told Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu sallam that come, I need to speak to you. But look at the tawazu of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What a sheikh Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, he decided that let me go to the house of Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu sallam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he went to the house of Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu sallam. When Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu sallam saw him, Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu sallam, he became very, very happy that Nabi alayhi salam came to my house. So he took out a cushion, and this cushion was of skin. And he mentioned this cushion, he filled it with the date palm. In those days it was date palm, today whatever else is filled into that cushion, the foam or leather or feathers or whatever. So it was filled with date palm. So this is the izzat he made of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Ya Rasulullah, he respected him, that you sit on this particular cushion. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't sit on this cushion. But Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam took this cushion, and he placed it between him and between Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, he brings this narration. And what does he prove from here? He proves that when a guest comes to our home, then make ikram of that guest, honor that guest, make that guest comfortable. And he uses this narration of Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat explains that in the previous days, hospitality, showing kindness to the guest, this was a very, very great thing. In today's time, to a great extent, this has left our life. Before, in the previous days, in the masajid, if somebody saw a foreigner, immediately after namaz, they'll ask him, bhai, where are you from? Come, let's go home, let's go and have lunch, let's go and have supper, whatever it might be. This is the extent and that they went to. And Hazrat explained that this is a special quality of the people of Madinatul Munawwara. Hazrat explained on one occasion, we're in Madinatul Munawwara. And he says, when we came out of the haram, I met a particular ustad of mine, and who's got a successful darulum in New York, I think it was. So he said, he taught us in Tajweed in Dioban. So he said that he told us that he's got a nephew here in Madinatul Munawwara. And he says he goes out of his way that whenever guests come to the house or come to Madinatul Munawwara, he will go out of his way to take care of them, and particularly the ulama. So then he explained, he says that the hospitality that is found in the people of Madinatul Munawwara, no other people in the world have that hospitality. Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with this particular quality. And he says this hospitality you will find every Monday and Thursday. If you go to the Haram Sharif, you will see how they lay out those dastarkhans, how they feed a person. And a person that is not roza, he's not even fasting. And he comes there, and he sits down on the dastarkhan. He eats the khajur over there long before the Maghrib Adhan is called out. But you never told one thing, that no problem, you can eat. And if you're there in the month of Ramadan, then they got particular people. And these Arabs are wealthy Arabs. They got these particular people that go, get certain person, and he's our mehman for Ramadan. When they get you, and they bring you to the dastarkhan, they will get an undertaking from you that as long as you are here in Madinatul Munawwara, this is the dastarkhan you will come to, and this is the place where you will make iftari. And that wealthy Arab who is hosting everyone, the bread he will break it himself, the rolls or that bread that is there, he will break it himself, and he will give it out to every person. That qahwa, that coffee that is there, many a times they are the ones that are pouring it out. They're setting the dastarkhan, and this is how they take care. When it comes to the days of Hajj, if a person has to go to the plains of Mina, then we'll find that there's massive trucks that are parked over there. And over the three, four days over there, whilst people are in Mina, they are just throwing yogurt somewhere. Somewhere they're throwing some milk. Somewhere they're throwing something else. How they sponsor. And sometimes when you're walking back from Mina, when you're coming to Azizia, you'll see them standing on the road with some of them with the packets of cold water. That now the Hajis are passing, they're going back to their hotels, give them this water. So Hazrat mentioned that for a person to get his iqamat in Madinatul Munawwara, you don't need contacts over there. You don't need anything. All you need, have this quality of hospitality. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give you your iqamat in Madinatul Munawwara. So here also Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, he brought this narration to explain that when a mehman comes to your home, and especially if you're Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how hospitable you have to be. And the wurasa of Nabi Alaihi Wasallam, the ulama, when they come to your home, how hospitable you will be. And leave the ulama, even a normal person, he comes to your home, he's your mehman, he's your guest. They go out of your way and take care of the guest of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was brought into the home. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was made comfortable. Now look at how a Shaykh al-Kamil, how he makes tarbiyat of his mureedin also. The Sahaba radiallahu alayhi wa radiallahu alayhi wa radiallahu alayhi wa ajma'een, we find that the greatest mufti, he says Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. But nobody says mufti Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. The greatest muhaddith, hadith, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. Nobody says mufassir Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. And the greatest muhaddith, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. Nobody says muhaddith Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. The sohbat that they had of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they remain in the companionship of Nabi alayhi wa sallam. This was so great that all these titles have been left one side. And all of them have been given one title from the top to the bottom. That these are the ashab, these are the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi alayhi wa sallam, look how he made his tarbiyat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, أَمَا يَكْفِيكَ فِي كُلِّ شَهْرٍ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ. Does it not suffice you, Abdullah bin Amr, that every month you keep three rozas? Just three rozas will suffice, which is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The 13th, 14th and 15th of every month. This roza I keep, why don't you keep these three rozas? These three are sufficient for you. So he made a proposal to him that keep these rozas. These are known as the ayyam-e-beed. It is mentioned a person that fasts in the month of Ramadan, and he fasts in these 3 days every month. Whatever sicknesses a person has, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will cure him from these sicknesses. And every good that we do is multiplied by 10. So if a person fasts 3, multiplied by 10, you get the reward of fasting for the whole month. So in this way, 3 days every month, the whole year's sawab you get of keeping roza. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that won't it suffice you? Keep only these three rozas. So the sahabi told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, that won't you give me a little more, increase me on this. I have more strength than this. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make it 5 days, khamsat ayyam, make it 5 days, then you fast 5 days. So he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I got much, much more strength than this. Why only 5 days? Look at that jazba, that desire that they had. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, La sawma fawqa sawmi Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. That there is no roza that is more than the fasting of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. That Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, one day yasumu yawman wa yuftiru yawma. That one day Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam would keep roza. And one day Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam would make iftar. So he says, why don't you keep that roza? That is the best roza. There is no roza that is superior than the roza and the fast of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. So then Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala, he made a promise. He told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah, I am prepared to keep this roza. That this roza I will keep. So he kept this roza of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. But came a time in the life of Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala where he reached old age now. And when he reached old age now, he had taken that promise, I'll fast one day and one day I'll make iftar. It became difficult for Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala. In old age, now he didn't have that amount of strength. Now he could not fast like how he used to fast when he was a young man. So when he reached old age, so he said that I asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to increase me. He says, but if only I practice on the advice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he told me fast 3 days every month, it would have been so much easier for me today to keep this roza. He says, but I promised Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that one day I'll fast, one day I'll make iftar, so I will continue. Right till the end of his life, he continued, he fulfilled the promise that he had made. But here we take a great lesson. The one lesson that we learn from here also is this, that when a senior, he advises us, he makes some nasihat to us. Then at that time, generally when people are but young, especially the teenagers, then the teenagers feel that, what do the seniors know? They are old now, they don't know what times we are living in. So what's the need to take their advice? No, whenever a senior, he makes nasihat to you. When a senior gives some advice, then always take the advice of the seniors. What they've been through, what they know, we can never even imagine. It will take us a long, long time to actually reach there. So their advices are very, very important, whatever the seniors tell us. So this is one great advice, the lesson that we take from here. The second lesson that we take from here is regarding our ma'mulat. That when it comes to our ma'mulat, don't just jump and say that I'm going to do this much and I'm going to do this much. A person, work under the guidance of your sheikh. And a person, he should calculate that what is within my ability. How much can I do comfortably? Not that a person tries to bite onto too much and then later on he's taking his frustration out on his wife. He's taking his frustration out on his children. But do what is within a person's capability. خَيْرُ الْأَعْمَالِ مَا دِيمَ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْ قَلَّ. That the best amal and actions is that which a person is continuous upon. Even though if a person he does little bit, then also no problem. But a person is continuous. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that recite the Quran as long as your heart inclines towards it, as long as the inclination is there, recite the Quran. When a person now has become tired, so at that time a person should now stop reciting the Quran. A person shouldn't overburden himself. But Hazrat mentions that, Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah, and he mentioned this, so many people only know this one malfooz of Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah, that when you're tired now, close the Quran and put the Quran away. So here it is mentioned, Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also told the Sahabi at this juncture, when he gave him all these advices, he said that, إِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ, that this body that you have, this body has got a right over you. This body is not our body, this is an amanat from the side of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And he said, وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ, that your wife also has a right upon you. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, وَإِنَّ لِعَيْنِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ, that your eye also has a right over you, the eye also needs a rest. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him that verily the guests that come to visit you, those guests also have a right over you. From here, Mashaykh also explained that a person, if he regards his body as an amanat from the side of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so when a person sits down to eat, he says that this body has got a right, I've got to fulfill the right of this amanat of Allah Ta'ala, then that eating also will become an ibadat. So a person, in deen, we learn that there is total moderateness. A person should be moderate. So we find that there are two rights. One is the right of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The right of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is what Allah Ta'ala has made farz upon us, what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made wajib upon us, which is obligatory upon us, that is the right of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And one is the right that a person got no option. Farz, wajibat, a person has to do, whether he likes it, he doesn't like it, he has to do it. And one is the right of the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. What is the right of the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? This is nawafil. That our relation with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not just a dry relationship. A person that just does faraz, a person that just acts upon the wajibat, that is a dry relationship, because a person is fulfilling what Allah Ta'ala has made obligatory upon him. And when a person engages in nawafil, now he is gaining the closeness of Allah Ta'ala. That is that love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that a person has. And that is why through nawafil, a person, he becomes very close to Allah Ta'ala. It is mentioned regarding Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala. This is the son of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. First we spoke of Abdullah bin Amr. This is Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says that after the Fajr Salah, the Sahaba used to come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he used to tell Nabi alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, last night I had such a dream, and please interpret this dream for us. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after the Fajr Salah, he used to interpret the dreams for Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. But as Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, that never in my life did I ever see a dream. But he said, I also had this desire that as Sahaba would come and explain their dreams, when will the time come when I will have the opportunity of explaining a dream to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and getting the explanation from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He says, finally, after some time, this great desire, this tamanna that I had, it was fulfilled. He said, I also saw a dream. And he said, this dream that he had seen somewhere, that he was raised up towards the heavens. So he said, I also came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and I said that I will explain this dream to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But he said, after the Fajr Salah, when I went to explain this dream to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, there was some obstacle, there was some barrier, because of which I couldn't relate this dream to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But what happened was, he said that my sister was Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala. She was married to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She's from the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. So he said, I thought to myself, if I can't explain, I will explain it to her. And I will tell her to get the interpretation from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he went and he explained the dream to Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala. She explained it to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She got the interpretation from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after getting the explanation from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she explained the interpretation to Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they also, what did he tell Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala? He said that ni'ma rajulu Abdullah, that Abdullah is a very, very good man. He's a great man. But he says if only one quality can come into his life, لو كان يقوم بالليل, he doesn't read tahajjud namaz. If only Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala can bring this quality of tahajjud in his life. So when Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala mentioned this to him, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, day and day he made a pledge. He said, I'll never miss out tahajjud from this point. And he's mentioned for the rest of his life, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he performed his tahajjud namaz. So see how the balance was created. On one side, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, that you're doing too much. And you must now equalize. You must spend more time with your family. Your roza also cut it down. And on the other side, when Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala came, he said that you start reading tahajjud namaz. So our relationship with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not a dry relationship. A person gains this closeness to Allah Ta'ala. When he sacrifices, he will get Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This will come when a person will wake up for that tahajjud namaz. He will engage in the ibadah of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the darkness of night. Where he performs his ishraq namaz sometimes. Sometimes his chash namaz. Sometimes awabin namaz. It is through this a person will gain the closeness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is mentioned that Hazrat Dr. Abdul Haythab Arifi rahmatullah, many a time when we study the kitabs of fiqh and we learn the masail of deen, then what happens many a time, then we look for shortcuts. For example, a person, he reads, he says the Isha namaz is 17 rakat. So he makes his niyat that I'm going to read 17 rakat Isha namaz. But then later on he starts studying the kitabs of fiqh. So when he studies the kitabs of fiqh, then he realizes, you know, this is sunnate ghair muakkada. This is mustahab. If a person, he does it, then in that case he's going to get sawab. If he doesn't do it, there's no guna also upon it. So what we do now, we found a loophole. So many nawafil in this way is left out. So if we don't act upon these nawafil, who is there that is going to act upon these nawafil? So these nawafil that are there are for us. Dr. Abdul Haythab Arifi, rahmatullahi alayhi, on occasion, he met one particular person. So while they were speaking, so the azan was called out. So when the azan was called out, so at that time this person, he continued speaking. So the Dr. Abdul Haythab Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi told him, he said the azan has been called out. So why don't you respond to the azan? Why don't you give jawab to the azan and then we'll continue speaking? So he turned around and he told his Dr. Abdul Haythab Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, Hazrat, that giving jawab to the azan, verbally to respond to it, he said, this is not farz. He said, this is not wajib. So see immediately how he used that loophole, that something that is not farz and something that is not wajib, there's no need to make amal on it. Only that which is farz and wajib make amal on that. So nafil must be shunned aside. So this nafil has become such that the status of nafil is now underestimated. No, it shouldn't be that way. But nawafil should be such that a person should give importance to nawafil, and this is the way a person gains the qurb and a person gains the closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So these two lessons we take from here. And one last point, inshallah we'll terminate on that, that a person after engaging, now a person he's got moderateness in his life, a person has got now nawafil in his life, but after doing this, now a person should take care of these amal as well. Not that a person he loses it out. Once Hazrat Rakim Sahib rahmatullahi, I think he was in Makkah Sharif, and they were traveling there, I think they were coming back to Jeddah airport. So they were sitting in the car, so it was quite hot, so he said that, is the AC not on, is the aircon not on in the car? So they said, the driver said, no, the aircon is on. He says, but just look around, maybe one of the windows haven't been closed properly. So when they looked around, they saw that, no, really, one window, it wasn't closed properly, because of which the aircon wasn't working to its maximum. So they closed that window. So the moment they closed that window, immediately the car was now cool. And now they travel comfortably. So he said, just like this, that a person, many a time we doing our nawafil. A person does a lot of nawafil also. But when we doing our nawafil, at the same time, a person involved in gunas. Now what happened, just like all that cool air, it was there. But because that one window was slightly open, it was all being lost. So similarly, when a person, he's doing his faraiz also, nawafil is also in order. But little wrong, a person gets involved in gunas, so the benefit is lost. Many people raise the question, they say that we're doing this ma'mulat, or this wazifa that is there, we're reading these wazaif, and we're just getting the results, the required results that we're supposed to get, we're not getting it. Why? If a person has to do a little searching, he will find that somewhere along the line, we are losing everything. So a person after doing that amal, now a person has to take care of it also. A person has to look after it also. As I always give the example of that person, that he was a diabetic, and they had admitted him into hospital. So when he was in hospital, under treatment also, under supervision, but his sugar levels were not coming down at all. Later on when they looked, they found that under his pillow, there were the chocolate wrappers. So a person, he was making churi at that time. So similarly, the nawafil that is there, it will give us great benefit. But if we lose the results, if a person doesn't take care of it, then it is all gone. So this will only come when a person will have taqwa in his life. When a person has this taqwa, then a person will reach this closeness to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazrat Mufti Abdullah Pulpuri Sahib, Daun Barakatum, he says that a person that's a normal person in any country, he says that person, he is given the privilege to use all the benefits of that country. For example, the rail system that is there, you got the privilege, you buy your ticket, you can use the rail system. The aeroplane that is there, you buy your ticket, you can use the aeroplane. A person wants to go to the malls, he wants to go to the shopping centers, all the hospitals, all the facilities are there because you are the citizen of that country. But he says the moment that person, he's voted as the government of the country, that he is the president of that country. What happens? Now he gets extra privilege. Now he doesn't have to use that aeroplane which everyone else is using. But now he gets a special jet for himself, and free of charge now he is flying. Now when a person is driving in town, he's got a whole lot of police that are in front of him that are escorting him through the town. When he reaches a particular place, the doors have been opened for him. Now the red carpet is being laid out for him. Why? Because now he's a special person, he's VIP. So he says, exactly the same way is the condition of a mu'min. That a person, when he's not a normal person, now he's a man of taqwa. He became a muttaqi. So he said, this person, he enjoys various bounties and various ni'mat from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Like in the Quran, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions that a person that got taqwa, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. A man that got taqwa, Allah ta'ala makes an opening for that person. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah ta'ala will give him risk from where he cannot even think and imagine. This ayat of Quran was revealed regarding a sahabi, Hazrat Malik bin Ashja'i radiallahu ta'ala. His son was kidnapped. So when the child was kidnapped, the father, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulallah, my son has been kidnapped. The mother is totally restless. What do we do in this situation? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you and your wife excessively recite La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It is mentioned when he went back, he told his wife that this is a prescription of Nabi alayhi sallam. Like as it says, if it was us, what we would have said? That this is an easy prescription. Who doesn't know this? If somebody says make istighfar, we say who doesn't know this? Istighfar everyone knows. Somebody says make tilawat of Quran, your solution is here. So what we will say, that tilawat of Quran everyone's making. But she said, oh, what a great prescription Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So immediately, husband and wife, they started making amal. And in a short span of time, those people that had kidnapped, the kidnappers that had taken this young boy, they became little ghafil, they became little negligent. And when they became negligent, he managed to escape. And not only escape, but all the animals that they had, he brought all the animals also and came. So Allah Ta'ala says that this is not only for them, but this is for the entire ummah. That a man that has taqwa, Allah will make an opening for him. Allah will provide for him from where he cannot even think. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Allah will make all his work easy for him. إِنْ تَتَّقُ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. A man that brings this fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah will give him that criterion, the ability to differentiate between what is haq and what is batil, what is right, what is wrong. Many a times a person, he needs to go for operation, he has to go for surgery. Now he doesn't know, should I go, shouldn't I go, what are the chances? But you'll find that a person, a muttaqi person, some pious Allah wala, will go to him for mashwara. He knows nothing about doctors, he knows nothing about surgery, but we're going by him for mashwara. What's the reason? Because he's got that taqwa, that he'll make the correct decision. A man wants to open the business, that Allah wala, what does he know about business? He's sitting, for example, in his place, making his ibadat in his ibadat khana. But we go to him for mashwara. Why? He's got taqwa. He will be able to make the difference between what is right and what is wrong. But this taqwa, a person also has to make mujahada for. A person has to make a little bit of sacrifice for that taqwa. That when that desire comes, as the Mufti Taqi Sahib has written in one place, he says that when this desire comes, that strong desire to do something wrong, he says to trample that desire, to crush that desire. He says this is when that actually the quality of taqwa will come out in a person. But he says, what do we do at that time? We say, I am too weak. I can't do anything over here. My eyes, I cannot control. Or a person is addicted, for example, to the internet, to porn. So there he says, this is my weakness. He says, I cannot do it. But there are so many things that a person cannot do. Little bit of practice, and in a short span of time, see where he reaches. And how a person perfects it. And in such things that are useless things, futile things. A person, for example, he is now balancing on a string. A person, where can he balance on a string? But he practices a little bit and see how he becomes a master. Person is juggling 4 or 5 balls at a time. It's almost like so difficult for us, it's impossible. But the man that practices it, in such a short span of time, he becomes a master of it. In the time of Harun al-Rashid, one person came to Harun al-Rashid, and he told the king, Harun al-Rashid, that I'll show you something that you've never seen in your life before. Such kamal, such perfection I've attained, you haven't seen such a thing before. So Harun al-Rashid gave him the opportunity. He said, what can you do? Show it to us. So this person, he took a needle. And he took the needle and he planted it in the carpet. He placed it in the carpet. And then he stood at a distance. And from a distance, he threw the cotton, the thread. And he got it exactly in the eye of the needle. If we got the needle in our hand, we have difficulty putting it in. But from a distance, he got it in. So Harun al-Rashid said, that's something I've never seen in my life. Today I have seen. So he told his people, he says that give him 10 dinars in arm, 10 gold coins, that what perfection he has got. And he said at the same time, he says give him 10 shots with a shoe. So the people couldn't understand. He said that 10 dinars that you said we must give him, He said, that we can understand. What the man has achieved, for that we give him 10 dinars. But you're telling us at the same time that we must give him the 10 shots also with the shoe. What is the reason for this? Why must we give him the 10 shots? So Harun al-Rashid said that the 10 shots that I'm telling you to give him, he has wasted his time in this futile activity. What benefit is there? No benefit of dunya, no benefit of akhirat, no benefit of deen. So he has perfected it, but he has wasted his time. So look, when a person, he practices, where can a person reach? So exactly the same way, that if a person, he just practices a little bit, a person, he cannot control his eyes, but at that time, a person, he tramples his nafs, that today I'm not going to look. And he does it a few times, after that it becomes very, very easy. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes it easy for a person. The Sahaba, they stayed with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the time came in the life of Sahaba, where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had made alcohol haram for them. And how Sahaba loved alcohol, how they loved alcohol. Before, prior to Islam and prior to in the days of Jahiliyyat, they were addicted to alcohol. And a person, the moment he drinks alcohol, he touches it, it is such a bimari, such a sickness, he cannot leave it after that. He cannot leave it again. Like one poet, Ghalib, he says, chuti nahi. He said, kafir ke muh se lagi hui hai. He said that this habit, I cannot leave it. It is now attached to the mouth of the kafir. He cannot leave this habit of alcohol. Sahaba, it is mentioned for alcohol, they had approximately 200 names. 200 names just for alcohol. So many. In the morning, if you drink alcohol, there was a separate name. In the afternoon, if you drank alcohol, there was a separate name. In the evening, if a person drank alcohol, there was a separate name. So for each time, there was a separate name for the alcohol. If the alcohol was mixed with water, then there was another name for it. And if there were two alcohols that were mixed up, like how today they mix it with other alcohols or cold drink or whatever, if two alcohols are mixed up, then there was another name for this. A young boy, the moment he grew up a little bit, the first thing that he will do, he will engage in drinking alcohol. So much of love they had just for the alcohol. But when the time came, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's command came, and the i'lan was made in Madinatul Munawwara, that this alcohol, innal khamra qad harumat, that this alcohol has now been made haram. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala says that there was a majlis taking place at that time of alcohol. He says it was being served. He says the man that was on the verge of putting it into his mouth, he says that man took it and he poured it on the ground. They had those matkas, those earthen pots, special earthen pots they used to have, and made from different types of material also. He says they took those earthen pots and they threw it on the ground. And for 3 days, the streets of Madinatul Munawwara just flew with alcohol, like as though it has rained in Madinatul Munawwara. So a person, when he got the sohbat of Ahlullah, he remained with them. And the courage which Allah Ta'ala has given them, he uses that courage, that no matter what guna a person is involved in, he will come out of that guna. And the courage that he has, now because he stayed in the company of some Allah Wala, some Ahl-e Dil, he stayed with them, then that courage also will increase. On condition he stays away from guna. He stays away from guna and he stays with Allah Wala, then that courage which he has, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will increase that courage as well. So a person should bring this i'tidal in his life. A person never underestimate what is the darja of nawafil. A person should give great importance to it. And together with this, look after our ibadat. That whatever ibadat we engage in, look after it and don't destroy it. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. فاذكروني يذكركم انا جليس من ذكرني. دل میرا ہو جائے ایک میدان ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل. درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھو جدر. لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. الہی دل میں میرے غیر کا اثر نہ رہے سوائے تیرے کسی پر میری نظر نہ رہے. تو کر بے خبر ساری خبروں سے مجھ کو الہی رہوں بس خبردار تیرا. لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ نعره مستان خوش می آیدم تابد جان چونی می بایدم الله جل جلاله تعالی الله 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 آهراج آسما همدم نبو راغرا غیر خدا محرم نبو الله الله پیارا نام ہے عاشقوں کا مینا اور جام ہے
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي ولا تشقنا بمعصيتك جزا الله عنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.